In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. I failed to mention the giving envelopes are in the fellowship hall. We ask that you would pick those up today. If you're going to be responsible for them, it'd be nice if you could take people who you'll meet along the way so the church won't have to waste money mailing envelopes to members of the church. The giving envelopes are in the fellowship hall. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Somebody say blessing.
Blessing.
"For whoever would love life and see good days," somebody say good days, "must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I want to continue our talk about loving one another. Loving one another. This is part two. One of the six values of our church is love. This text does a marvelous job of causing us to think about loving one another. The thesis of this series of messages is we should work on loving one another instead of being evil. Now, last week, we started off talking about facets of love. There were bits and pieces in the sermon that we tried to lump together for organizational purposes. And so we said that living in harmony or being like-minded, seeking peace and humility goes together. Church ought to be known for everybody being on the same page, speaking the same language, trying to accomplish the same goal. And in order for us to do this peacefully, it's going to be a give and take situation. And we ought to do it with humility, because after all that we have is a gift from God. If God ever took his stuff away, we would have no stuff left. All we have is from the Lord. We moved along and talked about being sympathetic, going with compassion and doing good. Up under our smiling faces in church clothes are all kinds of issues sitting right here. There are those who suffer with issues of guilt. Others deal with unresolved anger and bitterness. Other people deal with depression. People have financial problems, family problems. You name it. And you'd be surprised how God can use something as simple as your smiling face, your shaking hand, your warm embrace to be a blessing to the people sitting right around you. And then there are times when the good we are called to do is to just be a good listener. Sometimes people don't need a sermon. They don't need a Bible study. They just need somebody to listen to them, to just hear them out. Once they get it out of their system, they can see what they need to do. Maybe the good that God wants you to do is to close your lips and open your ears with a smiling face. And then we talked about loving as brothers or as siblings. And I urged us to think about how sibling love is involuntary. Relational love. We don't choose our sisters and brothers. Because we have the same parent, We are involuntarily in a sibling relationship. And the worst of us have some of our Father in us. God has planted some of Himself in all of His children. And the God in you ought to be able to love the God in the person sitting right next to you. God hates to see us bickering and quarreling and fussing and arguing with one another. And unlike the grandmother of my youth, God is everywhere at the same time. There is no escaping His all-seeing eye. We moved along and talked about the notion of controlling our tongue being a two-sided coin. Without doubt, there's a whole sermon in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, which teaches us to speak the truth in love. Three sermons just jump up out of the text and say something about me. First of all, I have a duty to speak as opposed to just being silent. When I speak, my duty is to speak the truth, not flattery or lies, but also to speak the truth in love, not an abrasive truth, but a loving truth. There's no escaping the need to speak the truth in love. But the flip side of that coin is to other folk have to work on their hypersensitivity. The longer you walk with the Lord, the stronger you ought to be in Him. There's something seriously wrong when your feelings get hurt because somebody said good morning to you the wrong way. At some point, you ought to be mature enough to just thank God that somebody said good morning to you at all. Mm-hmm. But you'll discover that sometimes hypersensitivity is just a manipulation device. If a person don't like you, it doesn't take much to set them off. If a person loves you, you'll be surprised how much you can look past. That's why the book says love covers a multitude of sin. And then we said that we ought to bend over backwards so that one day we can get to Psalms 122, verse 1, that says, I, singular, was glad when they, plural, said unto me, singular, let us, plural, go up to the house of the Lord. You ought to be happy about being in the Lord's house with your sisters and brothers. Psalms 122, verse 1 is a congregational text. It's not an individual text. The psalm writer wasn't just happy about being in the Lord's house. That's individual. He was happy about being in the Lord's house with the Lord and his sisters and his brothers. It was a corporate text. We then moved on to talk about it can be difficult to love one another. People can be a trip in church. You got mean people. You got folk that starve for attention. You got envious people. You got people who just don't care. And if you're not careful, you would give yourself a pass on loving difficult people. But I urge you to revoke your pass in light of how God keeps on loving us. If you think it's challenging for you with your sinful self to love others with their sinful selves, I want you to think about how God with his holy self keeps loving us with our sinful selves. You and I put together have not gone through for God what God has gone through for us. And thus, we ought to love one another as our way of telling the Lord, thank you for your continuous love towards us. Every time you look at Calvary, you ought to be willing to go a little further for the Lord. Every time you think about Jesus mediating on the right side of the Father for you and for me, you ought to be willing to go a little further. What a marvelous sermon of last week. This week we go a little further, and I want to pull three promises from our pericope here. three things that we can look forward to if we get the love stuff right. Are y'all ready? First one to hear is in verse number 9. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called. Listen, so that you may inherit a blessing. I've called this inherited blessing. Anybody here want to be blessed? I said, anybody here want to be blessed? Yeah. If I had my way, it would be all good and no bad in my life. It would be sunshine after sunshine with no midnights. It would be summer after summer with no winters. It would be mountaintop after mountaintop with no valleys. If I had my way, I would preach and I would teach, and there would be immediate transformation. I would stand here and holler out that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And sinners would come running, saying, what must I do to be saved? If I had my way, I would preach and show people what the Bible says about studying, serving, and giving. And folk would say, well, if that's what God wants, then that must be what I'm going to do. Preaching and teaching would produce an enthusiastic crowd, a crowd that could say, Lord, thank you when they have money in their pocket, and Lord, thank you when they broke as can be. A crowd that would love God on mountaintop and in valley bottom. If I had my way, church would be packed with people who shout on Sunday and serve on Monday. Church would be packed with folk that want their church to look better than their own homes, and they want their church to be known for excellence. If I had my way, we would have classes full of not just teacher and curriculum, but full of students learning about how God has moved and is moving in black history and doing a marvelous work. A black history that would inspire them to stop hating their beautiful black selves. A black history that would give them pride enough to say, I owe it to God and I owe it to my foreparents to make my community better than when I came. If I had my way, I'd be preaching and teaching to folk who would become not just rich for their own self-interest, but they would become rich so they can be a rich blessing to those who stand in need. But how many of y'all know God's ways are better than our ways? And what I love about God is his way is really best for us. Now, it takes some time to get to this point, but his ways are really better than our ways. Psalms 23:1 talks about how the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some may remember that the interpretation of that text would better read that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want of anything that I need. For the Lord knows not to give a sheep everything that a sheep wants. Somebody ought to help me here. I am listening to the Bible on CD, and I was listening to the portion of the text where the Israelites had made it into Canaan, and the Lord was explaining that he would not kill all of the enemies in one fatal stroke. And the reason was, if you kill them all, then the wild animals would be out of control. Too many dead bodies. God just has a way. He knows how much we can handle right here and right now. How many of you know you got to have some sunshine and rain to appreciate sunshine? If it was sunshine after sunshine with no rain, you could never appreciate the sunshine. You got to stand on the bus stop sometime to appreciate what a blessing it is to get in your car and just hit the ignition and the thing take off. You got to appreciate what it feels like for your car to be out of gas, to appreciate what a blessing it is to be able to have even a half a tank of gas. You see, if you've never ran out of gas and never wondered would you have enough money in the gas tank to make it to your job, then you really can't appreciate what a blessing it is to get up in the morning, turn your car on, and your only concern is just safe travel. You need to have some downtimes to appreciate what a blessing it is just to have reliable transportation. A heater that work, brakes that work, windshield wipers that work. See, if your windshield wipers have always worked, you don't think that's a big deal. You need to have some broken windshield wipers. Just appreciate the fact you can see through the windshield and the rear window. God knows what's best for us. He knows we need some mountains and some valleys. He knows that we need some midnights and some noons. He knows that we need some laughter and some tears. And when it seems as if there is an imbalance between good and bad, remind yourself, self, God is working all things out for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Get it good now. The blessing is not always what we want. The blessing is what God knows that we need. But I think I ought to tell you, the blessing is tied to our loving one another. The beginning of the sentence is not, you may inherit a blessing. That's the end of the sentence. Prior to that, he said, don't repay evil for evil, but repay evil with blessing. Let me move along. Tell you about the second promise I see. It's in verse number 10. It says, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. Good days. You see it? Good days. You know, after you go to enough funerals, it finally sinks in to your thick skull, we are running out of time. Go to enough funerals, look down in enough caskets, read enough obituaries, and eventually it gets through. This road is going to run out. We do not have unlimited days. But it is my prayer that the few days I have left would be good days. I wish I could get somebody over here to say good days. I want these days to be good days. Even if they're not long days, I want them to be good days. I don't want them to be full of anxiety or anger or depression or fear. No, no. I want them full of joy, peace, hope, merry laughter. I want my days to be good. Anybody here want to spend these days being good days? Can I tell you this? Can I tell you this? Almost everything we do is aimed at a feeling. Get it good now. Almost everything we do it because we want to feel a certain way. There are people who go out and buy beautiful cars, not just for transportation, but because they want to feel a certain way. That's why you clean it up, shine it up, detail it, wax it up, because you want to feel proud of your trophy car. It is not strange for people to have a beautiful car as their way of saying that I have arrived at some level of comfort. I've worked hard, I've paid for it, it's my money, I've earned it. This is my way of treating myself. I do it because I want to feel a certain way. There are others who work themselves almost into an early grave trying to accumulate enough wealth. Why? Because they want to feel secure. They want to feel as if I have enough, that no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in Columbus, no matter who's in City Hall, I have enough wealth to take care of me and mine. Doing stuff because you want to feel a certain way. You know, women who get married to the big, strong guy with deep pockets because they want to feel protected. They want to feel as if they got somebody who will provide for them safety. Others, men, have been known to go and marry somebody because they want to feel loved, taken care of. I got somebody in my corner. I got a cheerleader. Got somebody that when the whole world is against me, I got at least one person that will lift me up and encourage me. We do things for feelings. So then come back to verse 10 and listen to the promise. The promise is, if we can get this tongue and love stuff together, God promised us some good days. Can I let you in? Can I let you in on a secret here? What makes our days good is not our goods. Listen. What makes our days good is not our goods. There are those who think if I have enough stuff, then it's going to be a good day. And they think that I can't have a good day if I don't have enough stuff. But listen at what Rebbe is telling you. Rebbe is telling you, you can have a good day without a whole lot of stuff. And there's folk that got a whole lot of stuff that can't remember the last good day they've ever had. You can have a good day at the bus stop and a terrible day in your painful Lexus. You can have a good day at McDonald's and a terrible day at Papa Do's. You can have a good day in your apartment, in a terrible day, in a mansion. It is not about your goods. It is not about your stuff. It's really about your mindset. It's about your attitude. It's about where is your mind at. And what I love about God is he's not just God of this grand big world out there, but he's God of my mind and my heart. In my spirit, God can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. Part of the fruit of the spirit is joy. That when everything is falling in around you, God can give you joy in the midst of stormy weather. Well, I'll just preach to myself. Listen, God can make it a good day in spite of it being dark in the noonday hour. God can make it a good day and you just as broke as can be. He can make it a good day with pain wrecking your body. He can make it a good day when family has turned their backs on you. He can give you a peace and a joy that makes the day good even when you have no goods. They used to sing a song. I haven't heard it in a while, but they used to sing this song. I may not have done all I wanted to do, but Lord, it's been a mighty good day. I wish I had a witness up in here that know that the Lord can give you a joy that goes beyond explanation. You got bills on the counter, don't know how you're going to pay them. Your back hurt. Your foot hurt, you can't hardly see, but it's a good day. Your dog is not acting right, the cat done ran away, The goldfish done died, but it's a good thing. Yeah. Somehow and some way, it's going to be all right. That's some God stuff. But it's tied to loving one another. The promise is not an independent sentence. It is not God promises to give us good days, period. No. The text reads, the good day is tied to learning how to love one another. I must keep moving. Not only is there the promise of blessing and the promise of good day, but there is the promise of what I call divine attention. This is verse 12 stuff. Verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. Both, I would assume, of God's eyes are on the righteous. And we know righteousness only comes by accepting Christ, trying to live for him, and you're not doing much living for him if you're not working on loving your brothers and your sisters. He says his eyes are on us and his ears are attentive to our prayers. Can I remind you, we live in some dangerous times? I said we live in some dangerous times. I don't know if it's hormones or what. You know, men have hormones too. But I find myself becoming so repulsed by brutality. Just can't stand to see people just being brutally hurt. Women raped and beaten, and men whipped and stripped of all dignity. There was a movie out, Django, and I remember all of the senseless violence. There's a scene where they sick dogs on this man, and they found some entertainment value in having the dog maul the man on the big screen. They beat the slaves in the movie. They had a scene where these two big black men were fighting, and they had to fight to the death for the slave owner's pleasure. And then they wanted to flip the script at the end and have you cheering for the black folk killing all the white folk in the movie. It disturbed my senses so that I just left the movie. And you know, it had to be a terrible movie, because after I paid, I don't normally be getting up, walking away from my money. But I was just so disturbed by the movie. There was no entertainment in the movie. Each minute, my spirit was getting more and more depressed. I had to leave the movie. There's a movie out now, and I pray that they give them some awards. I thought it was a good plot. It was just too depressing for me to find any entertainment in it. It's called 12 Years a Slave. The plot of the movie is they kidnapped some man up in the north. He was a free man. He had family. He had a wife. He had children. Things were good for him. Somehow he became kidnapped, and they took him back down south. And for 12 years, he lived as a slave, and they beat him like a slave. They tried to indoctrinate him like a slave, and it was just too much for me to find any entertainment value in. Worse than what has happened in this country in the past is what is happening in our country. What we used to do is terrible, but worse than what we used to do is we haven't learned from the past, and we're doing the same, if not worse, today. Do I have to remind you of Trayvon Martin? Do I have to remind you of Judge Tracy Hunter? Do I have to remind you of the youth violence right here on our own streets? For 5 years, I've been around Cincinnati here, and I can't remember one week where somebody hasn't gotten killed. In Avondale or Bond Hill or Walnut Hill. And worse than the death is how normal it has become. We've become desensitized to the violence. We drink our coffee, listen to the news. The news just said somebody got killed in Avondale. And we say, pass me the toast. Somebody's house just burned down. This guy shot a gun up in the air and killed his baby. And we keep on eating breakfast. Go to work. That ain't even worth talking about at the lunch break. It has become normal for us to kill one another. And you know, death is permanent. You know, when I was a young man, it wouldn't be strange for us to box a little bit. And you know, we got joy out of hitting somebody and knock them out. That was good stuff there. But if you knock them out, they would get back up. When you kill somebody, they don't get back up. This generation, that's too broad, that's too far. It's not this generation. Too many in this generation. They play for keeps. They don't want to box. They don't want to hit with their hands. They don't want to kick like Bruce Lee. They shoot. They stab. They kill. They don't hurt. They kill. And death is permanent. And it's prevalent. And it is too normal for us. It's a dangerous time. If I stop there, you would think my compassion stops at black people. But I remind you, there's enough danger to go around this world. There's this thing called human trafficking. Human trafficking. And you know, we don't spend a whole lot of time about it because ain't nobody trying to kidnap our children. But if anything, we'd be trying to give them away. Come on, leave them out on the porch. Come on, get this one. Lord, keep my mind. Human trafficking. There are children being snatched up around this world, sold as sex slaves. There are beautiful teenage girls being snatched up and turned into sex slaves. So they find these young women. It could be in Africa, it could be in Russia, it could be almost anywhere. And so the deal is they snatch this girl up. They love runaways. They pump her up with some heroin or some kind of a drug, get her addicted to the drug, and now this girl would do anything to satisfy her next fix. These are the times in which we live. This food that we eat, water we drink, and medicine we take, we don't know what's in it. There is such a pressure to produce more profit that we are messing with nature. We're finding ways to, instead of getting 50 bushels of wheat out of this crop, we have played with chemicals and found ways to get 100 bushels of wheat from the same field. Instead of it taking a whole year, we done figured out how to get 100 bushels at 6 months and then have a bumper crop, another 100 bushels before the year goes out. And the stockholders and the farmers are very happy because they got more stuff they can sell and their pockets are fat with money, but at what cost? It concerns me. It concerns me that our wheats may have as many chemicals and drugs in them as they have wheat in them. We don't know what we're drinking in our water. You do know that we pay people to put drugs and chemicals in our water. And it is our hope that the stuff they're putting in the water is killing the bad stuff and making the water good for consumption. But how many of y'all know really what we're doing is guessing and hoping? You can't hardly turn on the TV without somebody talking about, have you taken this medicine? We have discovered that this medicine that was approved have proven to be faulty. So everybody that's been taking this medicine, and you done had a heart attack, you done had a stroke, something bad has happened to you, let us know who you are so we can file a class action suit and everybody get paid. These are dangerous times. Jeremiah 17:9 talks about how our hearts are so deceitful and so wicked. Who can know the depths of our sin? If all I had going for me was me in such dangerous time, I would find it hard to sleep at night. But I came by here to tell y'all, I'm not in this thing by myself. Nor are you in it by yourself. Can I spend the last few minutes of your attention span talking about divine attention? Can I tell y'all about my God? Now, pardon me if I brag a little bit, but I think he's worthy of bragging. He has not just divine surveillance. Can I give you a little bit more detail? God is so big and so bad, he has video and audio surveillance. I'm not making it up. It's right there in the text. He says, his eyes are on the righteous. That means he sees the picture. But he also got audio because his ears are attentive to our prayers. Get it good now. God sees everything. He sees those who throw rocks and hide their hand. He sees what's around the corner. He sees the plot and the scheme of mean people. And he hears. He hears what's whispered about his children. And therefore, when I have fallen off to sleep, God is still awake, seeing over me, listening over me. And I can sleep with this great assurance that whatever happens to me, it came through Jesus first, and it's going to be all right. Children, listen real good now. Whatever happens to a child of God, it did not sneak up on God. It didn't get past God. God could have stopped it. But if he didn't stop it, look at this, God is going to use it for your good. Come on, the reason you're so quiet is because you didn't understand what I just said. I said, whatever has happened in your life, God could have stopped it. If he didn't stop it, that simply means God is going to use it for your good. There's nothing that's just so big and so bad that God can't stop it. His eyes are on you. His ears are on you. He has divine surveillance on you. And so if bad things are happening, don't worry about it. He has a history of turning bad into good. You don't have to go looking very far. Just look up on Calvary's Mount and look what happened. That terrible Friday that was full of blood and full of pain. It looked terrible on Friday, but that's not the end of the story. Early Sunday morning, Friday turned into resurrection morning. I'm telling you that God has made this love stuff very attractive. I mean, he could have said, I command you to love one another because I have been so good to you. Period. End of the story. We could never love one another enough to repay for what he's already done on Calvary. That could have been the end of the story. But this text says that's not the end of the story. He says, if we love one another, not only do you have Calvary done, but this is what you got coming your way. An inherited blessing, good days, and divine attention. Man, that sounds like a good deal to me. I can get some divine attention, I can get some good days, and I can get some blessings by just loving somebody I'm supposed to love anyway. That sounds like a good deal. Makes for a great sermon. But the question becomes, does it really change your life? I mean, little children can understand this sermon. The issue here is not understanding, it is living by. How terrible it would be to understand the sermon and then leave as apathetic as when you came. If we told the truth, most of us are not guilty of being mean and hateful. That only describes a handful of the people who show up here. And for the most part, we've learned to avoid them and just let them be a fool. Our greater challenge is apathy. Learning that the church is bigger than your clique. That's our biggest challenge, apathy. Walking past people who we don't know very well. Well, how will you ever get to know them very well if you don't stop and have a conversation? And when the question is raised, why should I do that? The text says, if we learn to love one another, we can inherit blessings. If we stop walking past one another, we can have some good days. If we could just learn each other's names and love up on one another, especially in the time of trouble, we can have some divine video and audio surveillance. That sounds like a good deal to me. And it is my prayer that it's such a good deal in your mind that the sermon gets to your heart and your hand. We will move along. Next Sunday, we'll close out this series. February, we'll be talking about something else. But I promise you, this love stuff is going to be on the test. It's going to be further up the test and weighted heavier than your attendance. Loving one another is more important than what did you wear when you came to church. Did you enjoy the worship service? You're not going to get much credit for that. This is where the bulk of the test is. Did you love one another? I'm saying the Lord has given us great incentives for just loving one another, not pooking them out in the street. That's another sermon. We're talking about loving one another. We're talking about people on this side of the church loving the folk on this side of the church because we are just one family. I did the best I could. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a good day to come and say, yes, Lord. God loves you, has a marvelous plan for your life, got blessings still in the wrapper with your name on them, but you got to trust him.